Well, today we want to continue our series. We're talking about reset. And if you tuned in online last week, we started talking about reset. Let me ask you a question. Who here has ever gotten a new device, a new gadget, maybe a new phone, a new TV, a new computer, and you started pressing button after button after button, and before you knew it, something was weird, right? Anybody ever experienced that? I know I have. Something was weird, and you say to yourself, where is the reset button on this thing? Like, how do I go back to the beginning? How do I start? Okay, maybe you're not a device person, but what about IKEA? How many of you have ever purchased something at IKEA? Maybe that's its own question, but how many of you have ever purchased something at IKEA and you start building it with the great instructions that they provide? Come on, right? They provide some phenomenal instructions, but you decided to move forward and not look at the instructions. You're like, I know how to build a table. It's just four legs and a plank, you know, pretty much. And you decided, I'm going to start building it, except that midway through it, you're like, why does this look like a triangle? Like, what's going on here? Like, things aren't right. And you thought, man, if I could just start all over again. Well, many of us go through life like that. We don't intend for our lives to ever fail. We don't intend to be failures in life. We don't intend for relationships to be broken. We don't intend for bad stuff to happen. But sometimes in life, we're just going out, making decision after decision after decision, not maybe sometimes giving the decisions too much thought. But we're making these decisions, and then finally we find ourselves at a place where we're like, wait, I wish I could start over again. I wish I would do this again. If I could only go back to that moment when this problem, when this issue started, if I could start all over again. And in life, sometimes we also want a reset. We want to start again. How many are grateful that our God is a God of second chances? And that our God is a God, yes, how many are grateful? You can praise God for that. He's a God of second chances. He's a God of third, fourth, fifth, and whatever number you're at. He's a God of that many chances. He's a God who loves us. And the Bible is filled with stories where people had to reset. Last week, we talked about a woman that she had five marriages. None of those marriages worked out. And she finally was with this other dude, and even that wasn't going well. But Jesus gave her a second chance. Let me tell you, the truth is that the Bible is filled with these stories. And today I want to share with you another story. It's about a rich man. This man was rich, but he wasn't rich because he did everything right. Rather, he was rich because he stole from people. He was an extortionist. He was really a crook. But the problem really was that he was a crook, but in legal ways. Anybody know that sometimes you can steal and yet it could be legal? There's no law written against that way of stealing. Well, this guy was doing it. He was a tax collector. Now, collecting taxes, there's nothing sinful about that. Taxes is something that we live with. God is okay with it. Jesus was okay with it. And it's something that we do to pay our government so that they can continue to provide the services that we need from government. So collecting taxes, there's nothing really evil in and of itself. So if you work for the IRS, you're cool. You're cool. We may not like you too much, but you're still cool with us. You're still cool. Collecting taxes isn't a bad thing. The problem often becomes when we see people taking advantage of the taxes that we pay. Now, in our culture, I think the government has gotten really smart about the way they collect taxes. They take it out of your pay before you get to even see your pay, and that makes it really simple. But the times in which this man, by the way, in case you haven't guessed it yet, his name was Zacchaeus. the way that Zacchaeus collected taxes was very different than the way that we pay our taxes today. Today, that very first time you ever got that paycheck and you saw what they took, you were upset. But after that, let's be honest, we came to terms with it. This is what the government does. They take our taxes before we see our money. They take what they take, we get what we get, and we learn to manage that and live with that. But in Zacchaeus' day, it was different. The way that taxes were collected was, here's your full pay. Here it is. You get your full pay, and you're like, oh, man, can't wait to go to the bank with this. And then you get a knock at your door, and there would be the tax collector. And this tax collector would come, and he'd say, hey, you got paid today? Oh, yes, it was great. Oh, listen, as it turns out, Rome wants their money. And tax collectors would have to go knock on people's doors and collect taxes. Now, people hated these tax collectors. They hated these tax collectors. For one, no one likes really to be paying taxes like that, especially not that way. This guy's only job was to collect taxes. Think about this for a minute. His only job was to collect taxes. How would you like it if your only job was to go and collect money? But wait, there's more. There's more. These tax collectors legally were allowed to add to their collection. So Rome wanted what they wanted. But then these tax collectors were extortioners. So they would often add more money to the taxes that were already owed. So it's like, okay, you owe this amount, and you're like, oh man, I don't want to pay that amount. Oh no, 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 it's not that amount, it's this amount. And everything above and beyond what Rome wanted was belonged to the tax collector. These tax collectors, they purchased this privilege from the Roman government. So people really disliked the tax collectors. Why? Because they collected taxes, but not only did they collect taxes, they collected on top of that something for themselves. Now, you'd be pretty upset if you knew that a dude's only job is to go house to house collecting money. After you have put in your 40, 50, 60 hours sometimes, maybe even more, after you put in all the hard work, here comes this dude, and all he does is collect money. That's his only responsibility. How many of you would like that job? Be honest. That's all I had to do. I could fool around all week, you know, play some Xbox, play some PlayStation, be fooling around, and then, oh, wait, it's Friday, time for me to go and collect some money. That's what these guys used to do. So the people hated these guys. Absolutely hated these tax collectors. They were seen as crooks. They were seen, because they were, after all, they were crooks. They were extortioners. They were taking advantage of the people. And Zacchaeus, what makes it worse for him is that Zacchaeus, he was also a Jew. And he was a Jew collecting taxes for the Roman government. And the Jewish people were living under Roman influence. They were in the in a Roman-occupied space. So the Jews are already upset that they're paying to Rome, that they're giving taxes to Rome. But here comes this Jewish guy just like me who has become a traitor just because he wants to make money off of me. So Zacchaeus was a tax collector, but he was also Jewish, which made him a traitor to his own people. And it gets worse than that. Not only was he a tax collector, not only was he a Jewish tax collector, but this man, he was a chief tax collector. What does that mean? It means he was the big boss. He had tax collectors working under him. Zacchaeus, when we read the story in Sunday school, it's like, oh, this little short dude and all that stuff, and we're not thinking much of it. He gets up on a tree. Jesus calls him. Okay, great. Story's over. When do we draw? But that's not the way it was. Zacchaeus was a very bad person in a Jewish mindset. He was someone that was stealing from his people, and he was doing it with government approval. Everybody was fine with it. But Zacchaeus needed a reset. He needed to start over because here, let me tell you something. As rich as you can be, wealth without anyone to share your wealth with is no fun. You could be filthy rich, but if everyone hates you, really, you're living a miserable life. It just doesn't matter how much money you have. If you don't have relationships to go along with that, it's not going to be fun. But let's dive into his story, because I want to show you three things that you can apply to your own life if you are at a place where you say, I could use a reset. If you're at a place where you say, you know, the truth is that my relationships are all bad, and I want to reset some things now in 2022. So let's dive into the story here. The Bible says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He had become very rich from all the money he had stolen. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed to a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. This is where we get the very first point to our message for today. If we'd like a reset in our lives, what's the very first thing we have to do? It's right there at the very end. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. You're like, what? What's the first point? Is the first point that I have to climb up a tree? Like, if I want to reset? No, that's not the first point. Let me tell you what Zacchaeus is doing in this moment. He's a very rich man. He's a man with much power, much influence. But he's not going to let any of that power, any of that influence come between him and the Savior he's after. If we need a reset, if we want a reset, the very first thing we need to do in our lives is that we need to drop our pride. Drop your pride. Some of us are in situations in life, and we don't get ourselves out of that situation because of our pride. Some of us, we are at odds with someone, and that relationship could be easily reconciled, but it's not reconciled because of our pride. I think that Zacchaeus maybe wanted to get out of his situation, but pride for a very long time had kept him in his situation. What do I mean? Zacchaeus' name, his name meant pure, and it meant clean. Pure and clean, and he was anything but pure and clean. But that was his name. His parents, when they saw him, they had high hopes for him. No pun intended, given that he was a short guy, but they had high hopes for him. They said, we're going to name him pure. He's going to be a pure child. He's going to be a clean child. But Zacchaeus was not living in alignment with what his parents wanted for him. He wasn't living in alignment with what they hoped. And I wonder how many times he looked at his life and thought, you know, I really want to get back to a different lifestyle. But I've got so much money that I would have to get rid of. There would be so many people that I would have to apologize to. And maybe, perhaps, pride kept them from doing that. But why is pride so bad? And I'm not talking about the kind of pride or the kind of pride that comes when you see your child maybe doing something honorable. I'm not talking about that type of pride. I'm talking about a selfish type of pride. Why is pride so evil? A few reasons. Number one, because pride is self-consumed. It's all about me. It keeps the focus on me. This is what Psalm 10:4 says, the wicked are too proud to seek God. They seem to think that God is dead. Proud people don't really seek God. There's a lot of proud people here, not here, but here in South Plainfield today. There's a lot of proud people in New Jersey today. There's proud people throughout our country that aren't seeking God. They could be in a church somewhere seeking God, wanting more God, but they're not seeking God. Why? Because they are proud. They believe that everything is about them. They are self-consumed. I don't need to worship a God. I already found the God that I need. I am my God. They are self-consumed. Pride, when people commend themselves, it doesn't count for much. The important thing is for the Lord to commend them. You can want to be proud, and you might be the type of person that wants people's approval and what people say. But the Bible tells us that you, your commendation for yourself is nothing. What's important in life is not how you feel about yourself or what you think about yourself. It's actually what God thinks about you. But pride is self-consumed. It's me, me, me. It's all about me. And I don't need to give credit to anyone. And that's the second reason why pride is such an evil thing. And it's because, truthfully, it takes God's credit. When you're proud, what you're doing is that you're crediting yourself for everything that you've accomplished. For everything. This is what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For what gives you the right to make such a judgment? What do you have that God hasn't given you? And that's a great question. Right now, just take inventory. If you're listening to me, take inventory. What do you have right now that you did not get because of God? Is it your money? You got your money all by yourself? I mean, God didn't give you health. He didn't give you the breath of life. I mean, you did it all on your own. God didn't provide for you to be in a home where you could have some resources. God didn't just, this is, you're a self-made man. No, everything we have, whether you are a believer, a non-believer, everything we have comes from God. What do you have that God hasn't given you? The answer is nothing. Everything we have has been given to us by God. Everything we have has been given to us by God. If God wanted you to cease right now and no longer exist, God can do that. He can make that happen. He is our source. He is life. And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? Why do you boast? Why do you boast about your car? Why do you boast about your boat? Why do you boast about your house? This is not you. These are all gifts from God. But pride is self-consumed, and pride fails to give God the glory that He and only He is worthy of. You know, when we worship, you know what we're doing? We're casting our crowns before the Lord. We're saying, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about you, God. Lord, whatever I have, Lord, I recognize today that it is not mine, that it is actually a gift you've provided me. So today, you need to realize that if you're going to start from scratch, let's start with humility. Let's stop the pride. Let's stop being so self-consumed, so self-absorbed. Let's stop taking God's credit, and let's recognize that it is God. And if it weren't for God, we would not be here today. So the first thing is that we drop the pride. The second thing is that we answer God's call. Let's just go to the story again. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. First of all, Jesus doesn't know Zacchaeus, all right? Well, at least Zacchaeus doesn't know that Jesus knows him. Zacchaeus is just thinking, Jesus is coming to town, and I can't see him. I have to get up on a tree because I'm too short to see him from where I'm at. So he gets up on that tree. Could you imagine? I just imagine this story for a minute. Like, Zacchaeus is just looking at Jesus, right? And all of a sudden, Jesus looks at Zacchaeus and he says, Zacchaeus, I could imagine that Zacchaeus nearly fell off the tree when he heard his name. I mean, could you imagine that? Maybe you have a celebrity that you like. Maybe you're a LeBron James fan, maybe. And maybe LeBron James is coming to town and he's walking. And then and you're like, oh my gosh, I want to see LeBron James. Could you imagine LeBron James coming back and saying, hey, Josiah? That would take you back. Like, how do you know me? Maybe some of you are a little more moderate. Maybe Steph Curry. But you're thinking, how did he know me? But Jesus knew him, and he calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down. I think that should probably read, Zacchaeus fell down, right? and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. Check that out. So Zacchaeus answers the call of God, and the people are displeased. Let me tell you, first of all, one thing you should note is that God wants more than anything, more than your money, because your money, like we talked a little while before, is really not even yours, it's his, but that's another sermon. Your money is not yours, it belongs to God. God, more than your money, more than your property, more than your talent, more than your ministry, more than anything, you know what God really wants? He wants you. He wants relationship with you. Jesus is calling him. He goes, I must be a guest in your home today. Zacchaeus, I want to come to your house. I must be a guest in your home today. Jesus says it in Revelation 20. He says, 3:20, he says, I am here. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Do you realize that this whole church thing, this whole God thing, this is not about religion, that it's about relationship, that it's about God just simply wanting to sit down with you and just enjoy you. On day 7 of creation, what do we see? We see that God rested on the 7th day. Why did he rest? Because he's tired? No. He rested because he wanted relationship with us. And all the way from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis to the very end of the Bible, it's all about relationship. It's all about Jesus wanting to be with you. In fact, the Bible ends with a wedding feast where the bridegroom comes and the bride is with the bridegroom forever and ever. The story of the Bible, if you want it really simple, the story of the Bible is that God created us so that we would have relationship with him. Sin destroyed that, but God redeemed us so that in the end, we can be together with Jesus forever. More than anything, God wants relationship with us. He wants us. He wants you. He wants me. And he's calling us by name. He says, Zacchaeus. What does Zacchaeus do? He answers the call. If you want to reset your life this year, you might want to start right there. You might want to drop your pride. You may want to answer the call of God in your life. Answer his call. Yes, Jesus. Yes, I want relationship with you. Yes, Jesus. I want what you want. I want to know you, like we sang a little earlier. I want to know you more than anything. I want you, Jesus. You would think that when Zacchaeus made that decision, that people would have rejoiced. You would think that people would have said, yes, that wretched tax collector is hanging out with Jesus. Isn't that great? Finally, a good, influential person in Zacchaeus' life. You would think that that would be the case, right? Not the case. Look at what happens next. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be with the guests of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Instead of looking it on a positive light, Zacchaeus is hanging out with somebody good. They say, no, Jesus is hanging out with somebody bad. here's the thing. There's people, I hate this about us, but there's people that don't want to see you and Jesus together. There's people that don't want to see you and Jesus for whatever reason. It makes them feel bad about themselves. They don't want Jesus to do anything good for you. So they grumble. They think, wait, that person is beyond salvation. That person is beyond the scope. You could save anyone you want, Jesus, but not that guy. That guy is horrible. Had someone recently reach out to me and say, I can't believe you're still a pastor. I said, it's the grace of God. And it's not because I called myself, it's because God called me. And let me tell you something. The truth is that people don't want to see you blessed. There are people that are so upset at you for whatever reason. They're so upset with you and whatever it is that they have in their mind. They don't want to see you prosper. They don't want to see you hanging out with Jesus. They don't want to know that Jesus has something for you. Hey, I got news for those haters. I got news for those jealous people. Jesus has something for you too. If you just stop hating on everybody, maybe Jesus could start doing something in your life. Jesus has something for you. He calls Zacchaeus, and people, rather than saying yes, people are like, can't believe him. You see that, Jesus? He's not the real deal. There's no way. If he was the real deal, he would not be hanging out with that guy. Instead of saying, no, wait, that is the real Jesus. And his mission is so strong on seeking and saving the lost. It's so strong on that, that he will call Zacchaeus and he will say, Zacchaeus, come. I want you to be found. I want you to be among the found. I don't want you to be among the lost. You need to make a decision, though, to answer God's call for your life. You need to make a decision. You just need to make a decision. I am going to follow Jesus. When Jesus calls me, I will answer. And if you said, yeah, but I've never heard Jesus calling you, he's calling me. Well, tell you what, he's calling you right now. He's literally telling you right now, do you want relationship with me, yes or no? Your answer must be yes. Yes, I want relationship with Jesus. Yes, I want to go and sup with him. I want him to be a guest in my house. I want Jesus with me. That's the second thing you do. You answer his call. And the last thing you do is that you repent. You repent. You drop your pride. You answer God's call and you repent. Look at what the Bible says. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Some of us say we repent, but we don't really repent. I heard a pastor say recently, I thought this was really good, that God is always faithful in providing a way out of temptation. The Bible says that there's always a way out, that God is always faithful. There's always a way out of temptation. He said, you know what the problem is that we're not looking for the escape. We're often not looking for the way out, so we fall into the temptation. Zacchaeus here, when he repents, this is genuine. How do I know this is genuine? Because of what he says. He says, I'm going to give half my wealth to the poor. Last week, if you were watching online, you'll remember that the Samaritan woman, when she had the encounter with Jesus, as soon as she had the encounter with Jesus, she went right away to tell people about Jesus. No one had to tell people about Jesus. She got on mission right away. She started right away. She knew the right thing to do immediately after she met Jesus. Here is Zacchaeus, and he has an encounter with Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, give half your wealth to the poor. Zacchaeus knows that this is the right thing for him to do. Real repentance, no one has to tell you how you need to repent. You know what you need to do to make things right. Zacchaeus says, Jesus, now that I have a relationship with you, I know what I need to do. I need to give back to the poor. I gotta give half my wealth to the poor. And then he says, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. I'll give them four times as much. Where did he get that from? Where did he get this idea that he had to give four times as much? Jesus never said this. Well, in Leviticus chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, I'll take you through this quickly. At the very end of it, it says that if you've stolen from anyone, verse 5, if you've stolen from anyone, you must make restitution by paying the full price and an additional 20%. An additional 20%. So the Bible was clear already. The Old Testament law was clear already that if you steal from someone, you pay them back what you owe them with 20% interest on top of that. Okay? So he already kind of knew that part of it. But he also goes to Exodus chapter 22, where it says, if someone steals an ox or a sheep and then kills or sells it, the thief must pay back five oxen or four sheep for each sheep stolen. Exodus 22 has this principle that you would pay back at least four or five times if you've stolen someone's property and you can't give it back. Meaning, for example, and back then it was different, right? They didn't have cash like we have cash. We barely have cash today. But back then, their currency was animals. It was land. It was property. So if you took an oxen from someone and you killed it, the Bible says you have to do it at least four or five times. You have to pay them back. Now you give them, if you kill one sheep, you give them back four sheep. So four or five times, you have to give more. What did Zacchaeus do here? Well, it turns out Zacchaeus, he went to the max. He says, I'm going to give you the max, Lord. And this was not something that Jesus put on him. He could have been fine with just 20%. He could have been fine with saying, Lord, if I've stolen from anyone, I'm just going to, you know, I'll give them what I owe, what I took from them, and then 20% on top of that. But he says, no, that's not good enough. I'm going to give them four times as much. He repented to the max. He repented to the max. You know, the reason I say that many of us, we don't repent quite like that, because we don't want to make right. We don't want to make things right. If we really repent, it should also be our intention to make things very right. I will tell you, I have someone in my life that took from me. And now I don't want to be overly righteous about this. Because the truth is, if I'm honest, is that I've also taken in the past from people. But I had someone that took something from me. And the person has only ever come back with empty sorries. Why do I say empty? Because it's easy to apologize from lips, but it's so much harder to say, not only do I apologize to you and recognize that what I did was wrong, but here is what belongs to you. This is what I've taken from you. True repentance does that. Why do I say that? Do I say that to shame this person? No, I don't say that to shame this person. I say that to show you something. That if we do someone wrong, it is only right for us to give them back what we've stolen from them and then add to it. That's genuine repentance. That's the kind of repentance that Zacchaeus demonstrated. Not a cheap repentance that says, no, I'm sorry, and deal with it. You know, you got to forgive me. You're a Christian. No, that's not the way it works. That's not actual repentance. I don't believe that God believes that's actual repentance. The repentance that we see so vividly demonstrated in the life of Zacchaeus is a repentance that says, no, I caused you injury. And because I've caused you injury, now I've got to suffer some myself in order to pay back. Now, if the person in their grace, they say, well, no, don't worry about paying me back. That's a different story. But you, as the person that's repenting, you say, I'm going to give back. That's the beauty of God, too. That Jesus let him do what he was going to do because Jesus felt that he needed to do this. But in the grace of God, Jesus didn't even require it. Jesus didn't say, you're going to be saved if. Jesus said, you're saved. That's it. And then because of the salvation, Zacchaeus acted appropriately. And he did the right thing. I believe that at that moment, Jesus did say it. He says, salvation has now come into this home. You know what I believe? I believe that in that moment, just he came back into alignment with his name. What was his name? His name was clean, pure. You know, some of us, we are living out of alignment to where God wants us, to what God wants and has for us. And in order to come back into alignment, in order to get that reset, what do we need to do? Well, we need to drop our pride, maybe eat some humble pie. Maybe we need to do that. We need to answer the call of God in our lives, regardless of who wants us to answer or not. But we need to answer God's call. And thirdly, we need to repent. A repentance that is genuine. A repentance that is sorrowful. A repentance that says, Lord, I want to do the right thing. I want to be clean. I want to be pure. Not that God requires it. But it's what we do because of the grace that we've been given. So today, I want to just simply ask you, do you need a reset? And I'm not looking at anyone. I'm just saying, do you need a reset? Do we need a reset? Do we need to restart? Well, if you need to restart, let's say that 2022 is going to be the year where I'm no longer a proud woman, a proud man. I'm no longer going to live in pride, but I'm going to live in humility. And if I have to eat humble pie, I'll eat humble pie. It's the year where I live in humility. It's the year where I answer the call of God in my life. That God has been calling me. Maybe he's calling you for a ministry. Maybe he's calling you to do something, to get active. I don't know what God is calling you to, but answer his call in your life. And make that the priority in your life. I answer the call. I become obedient to God. And last, I repent. And I allow my repentance to be a repentance where I give back. Where maybe I can't undo what I did, but man, I'm going to do something that allows me to compensate for what was done. God isn't requiring it. But God is allowing it. I believe that Jesus, in that moment, he said, salvation is clearly in this house. There are some people that call themselves Christians, and then you just never see any fruit. You don't see anything there. And they're Christians by title. Let's not be those people. Let's be the type of people that live in alignment with whom God has called us to be. And I believe that this year is a perfect time. I get it, you know, New Year's resolutions. Most of us say, oh, what's the big deal? It's not really a difference. I get it. It's not really a difference, but it is a difference. Man, how much of a blessing would it be if you could tell your friends and family 2022 was the year? 2022 was the year. The year for what? It was the year where I stopped being the proud person I was. It was the year where I answered God's call in my life, and it was the year where I began to make right what I had done wrong. Could this be the year in your life? Could this be your reset? Let's pray.